The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Tes. The Gemara relates the following interesting little anecdote. Amar Leih Kofer L'Rabbi Gamliel. Some people have the Girsa Kesar L'Rabbi Gamliel, so either a Kesar, a Caesar, or a Kofer, a heretic, Ashtar Gamliel. Elokeshem Ganav, your God is a thief. God put Adam Arishim to sleep, and while he was asleep, he stole his rib. It says he took a tellah. His daughter, not entirely sure whether it's from Leel's daughter, or the Kesar, or the Kofer's daughter, but the girl, whoever she was, says, leave him, I'll take care of him. I'll deal with his question. So what did she say? I need a duchas. Rashi explains the duchas was a champion of justice to punish the offender. She said she had a problem. She had a problem when she needed some justice. Amrlei lamalach, what's wrong? She said, listen, bo aleinu halayla. Bandits came upon us this past night. V'natzlu menu kitzen shel kesef. They stole a silver pitcher. V'nichu lanu kitzen shel zav. And they left us a gold pitcher. Amar La, that's your problem. Levai sheyavo leinu b'chol yom. I wish such bandits came to my house every night. So she told him, v'loyafa hayla la'adam arishon shenatzel menu tzela achas menasmul l'shivchul l'shem show. Was it not good for Adam that he gave up a rib and he got a servant to serve him? So we're not going to get into the question of why exactly the Gemara defines the benefit of a wife as being like a shivcha. But the point of the Gemara is that her answer was, Hashem is not a ganav. He took the tela in order to return something which is vastly more valuable. So what I'd like to discuss in this lecture is this really the halacha? Is it permitted to steal from someone if one's intention is to return something of greater value? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden actually, in his Hagos Yavetz and Gemara, deals with this question briefly, but we're going to discuss the basic sources on this topic to get some perspective on this general question. So the first Gemara is the Gemara in Bav Metzia, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara says, a braisa, short and sweet, l'chedetanya, lo tignov omenas l'meikat, lo tignov omenas l'shalom t'shulmei kefil. It is forbidden to steal, even if one's intention is in order to pay kefil. The guy doesn't want to take a matanis, he wants to steal in order to be able to pay him kefil, it's awesome. The Rambam in Hilchos Geneva, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, paskins this way. Osir lignov kol shud in Torah. It is a biblical prohibition to steal anything. V'asur ligno derech chok, a ligno omenas l'achzer, omenas l'shalem. L'achzer, the Mepharshim explain, means to return the chepetz itself. Omenas l'shalem means to return its value. Hakol asur shlo yargel atzmo b'kach. It's all prohibited. And the Rambam's language is not entirely clear whether he means it's all derech or not. He begins by saying that gneva is asur midin tara, and these things are also asur, and he gives a reason shlo yargel atzmo. So there's a shayla v'achronim whether the Rambam means these are all daraisa, and even though he gives a reason of shlo yargel atzmo b'kach, he should not become accustomed to stealing. They say it's a derech of the Rambam to sometimes offer his own reasons for psukim. Or does the Rambam mean that the Gemara Bava Metzia is only an asmachta, and that these things are only asur midrabanan, and it's like a gzeira shlo yargel atzmo b'kach? The Shulchan Aruch Rav, in Hilchos Geneva and the Kuntres Achron, brings these two pshatim briefly. But be that as it may, it's oster, and the Rambam says the reason is shlo yargel atzmo b'kach. We don't want people to get into the habit of stealing. Hakol panim, so the Gemara says, and the Rambam says, and no one argues, if this is a halacha psuka, that you're not allowed to steal, I'm an atzmo shalom kefil. So now we have another Gemara in Bava Kamma. This is a famous, very interesting little Gemara. The Gemara is going on a story in the end of Shmuel. It's also in Divrei Yomim. The psukim run roughly as follows in Shmuel. David, when he was out on the field on a campaign, a military campaign, he had a desire for water, and he said, you know, who shall bring me water from the bar, the cistern in Beis Lechem Asher Bashar? He wanted that particular water, which was not in lands held by the Jews. It was in Plishtim land, or they had to pass by the Plishtim to get there. So it says, the context here is the Navi is relating various heroic feats of David's Gibarim. It gives lists of his various heroes and tells about each one or each group what great heroic feats they perform. So this story is, Vayibaku Shloshes HaGibarim Vamachna Plishtim. This trio of heroes broke through the Plishtim ranks. Vayishavu Mayim Vibar Beis Lechem Asher Bashar. They drew the water and they brought it back to David. And said David didn't want to drink it, he spilled it out. That's the story. Now, the literal reading of the story is that David wanted actual water, H2O, and they brought it for him, and he didn't drink it. The Gemara understands, though, that this narrative is allegorical, that Maya means Torah, and the Beis Lechem Asher Bashar was a Sanhedrin, And the Gemara understands that David had a shaila. Vayisava, there was something he needed to know, and he asked, who will go ask the shaila to the Sanhedrin? And the heroes went, and they asked the Sanhedrin, and they came back with an answer. And so the Gemara wants to know, what was the shaila? What was the shaila, and what was the answer? So the Gemara brings various pshatim, three pshatim. We are interested in the third pshat today. The Gemara says, Rabbanan v'sema Rabba bar Mari amru, G'dishim d'sarin d'Yisrael havu, G'dishim d'adashim d'plishtim. There were Jewish-owned piles of Sarim, and there were Plishtim-owned piles of Adashim, lentils. Now, the Gemara itself doesn't explain why it's making up things about Kedishim and Sarim. The answer, of course, is that if you actually read the entire narrative in Shmuel and Devarei Yamim, you will see more of why the Gemara is doing this. But these are based on the various psukim that appear in the context of the story. So the Gemara says, the shaila was that there were Jews had Sarim, and the Plishtim owned Adashim. The Kamibayle, Mao Likal, Gedishim Shal Sarim, the Israel, Litin of Abraham, Tom and Asal Shalim. Gedishim Shal Adashim, the Plishtim. David needed to feed his animals, and he wanted to feed them Sarim, and to pay back the owners, the Jewish owners, later when he would conquer the Plishtim, and he would expropriate their stuff, their Adashim. He would use those Adashim to repay the Jewish owners of the Sarim, whose stuff he had borrowed. May I do that? So the Shalchulei, the Sanhedrin responded, no, you may not. Chavel, well, you may, but not, we'll see. Chavel Yashiv Rasha Gzeli Yishalem, that's a pasuk, that even if it's Gzeli, Afavish Gzeli Mishalem Rashu, normally, in an ordinary context, if you steal even Almanas L'Shalem, you're a Rasha. Avalat, Amelech Ato, Melech Paritz Lanskul Derefe, Melechim Biyadu. Amelech has special dispensations, the famous rule of Melech Paritz Gedu. So basically, the Gemara says that Gezel Almanas L'Shalem is Aser, just like the Gemara in Bava Metzia. However, here the Rush tells us a big kula, a big exception, a major exception. Venera says the Rush, Shadayin Lahoyu Mizuman. David did not yet have these Adashim. He had not yet conquered that area of the Plishtim. What he wanted to do was to take the Gedishim of Sarim from the Jews on credit, and later when he would obtain the Adashim from the Plishtim, he would then pay back. The Rush says this only far. He has no proof, but he says this is what he feels. If he already had access to the Adashim, then no problem. He would be able to be Zoche in the Gedishim Shal Adashim by the Acher. He would be able to tell another person, here, you take these Adashim and be Zoche for the owners of the Sarim. Why does Chusulo? Because Adashim are more valuable than Sarim. And that's what the Rush says. The Gemara is only talking about a case where the person who wants to steal does not yet have the thing he wants to pay back with. But if he does, and he's Mizak Ali De Acher, then it's fine. So that's a major exception to the rule of Gezel Menasel Shalom is Aser. Now, the Achronim ask that this din of the Rush, this kula that is permitted to steal if you have the stuff and you're being mizachai d'acher, they ask, this is the stira to the Gemara Bava Metzia. The Gemara Bava Metzia says, Yinal of the Duat El Menasel Shalom Kefil. And here the Rush says it's okay. So the Shach says, this is in Simon Shindun Tesh and Chashon Mishpat, Tifkan Gimel, says obvious answer. The Gemara Bava Metzia is only talking about a case where you're not being Mizakai Dacher, you don't have the Kefil yet, or you're not ready to Mizakai Dacher, then it's Taka Aser. But like the Rush says here, as long as you have the repayment and you're being Mizakai Dacher, it's fine. And according to the Shach, it's only Aser if you don't have it or if you're not prepared to be Mizakai. The earlier Achronim, though, the Bach and the Prisha in Simon Shinran Tess, they don't say this Chilik. They both say that there's a Chilik between Geneva and Gzela. They reference the wording of the Rambam that we saw before, that the reason for this Iser is Shlo Yargil. So they say Gneva, which is common and is done out of sight and nobody sees you, if we give you such a heter to steal things secretly and you plan to return them, that will get out of hand because you'll always do it and nobody will stop you. So there, even apparently they hold, even if you're prepared to give it back, even if you have it and you want to be Mizakai Da'acher, since Gzela is secret and Chazal were not prepared to let you do this. Gzela, which is not Shriach and it's done in public, and if you try to get away with doing it Shloka Din, people will snap you. That's where the Rush said you have this Kula because we're not worried that it'll get out of hand. But this is a big chumra of the Bach and the Prisha, that the Rush's Heter does not apply to a case of Gneva. Now, this is the sheet of the Rush, and the Shulchan Aruch brings this as a Yesh Omrim in Simon Shin Nun Tes. In Simon Shin Nun Tes, Sif Beis. There is, however, a dissenting opinion, that is the Marshal. And the Yamshal Shlomo in Bava Kama Perek Vav there in Simon Chav Zayin, Marshal is strongly rejected. Lo Nehir HaKlal, he says, is it permitted to do business with your friend's money? Let's tachar mon chaver or shlomi daito. Maybe he wants sour, maybe he dafka wants a sour, even though they're worth less. Maybe he needs them for his animals, he says. You know, and he won't be able to buy new sour with the money that you give him. Or Stami, he wants his own stuff, he says. So Mechatesi, the Marshal, says you should be allowed to steal someone's things, even if you plan on giving him back something which is worth more. And the truth is, the Achronim point out, that the Marshal's cash is not as strong as it may seem, because the Lashon of the Torah, the Rosh's son, in Siman Shin Nun Tes, when he brings down the Rosh, he adds a qualifier to the Rosh. After he brings the language of the Rosh, he writes, apparently on his own, V'dafka she'adua d'schusulo, the Rosh is kula, being mezaka, putting aside money, being mezaka, is only if we know it's a schus. Why do we know? Gom b'davar ha'omed limacher. Something which is omed limacher. It's commercial stuff, it's meant to be, it's waiting to be sold. On the hefte beso lo, his personal household possession is no such thing. So the Shach says, according to this, Marshal's kasha is not a kasha. The Shach and Siman Shin and Testif Kun Dalad, according to this, is no kasha, because once it's omed limker, then why should he care? It's omed limker, he wants it to be sold. So that's the only case the Rosh was talking about, he says, and that's why the Marshal's kasha is not shver. And there is actually a machlok, is what omed limker means. The Shach himself goes on and says, Omid Limkar has a very narrow definition. Which, as I said, commercial stuff. It's stuff which is not, it's in a store. It's stuff that's meant to be sold. We know for sure that Lachar the Shach is right. Marshal is wrong. Why would anybody care if it's stuff meant to be sold and then you're going to give him more than its value? Why not? The Ktos, though, in Siman Shin and Tes, end of Sifkot and Aleph, disagrees. The Ktos says that it's mashma, anything which is not specifically a household possession, like his couch or his car, then, even if it's not something which is specifically commercial merchandise, as long as it's not a personal household possession, that's considered omid limker. And then it's not so clear that Marshal is wrong. Because just because it's not his actual couch, it's something sitting in a warehouse of his, who knows what he wants to do with it. Maybe he wants to sell it. But maybe he doesn't want to sell it. But the Ktos says that, and even that, the Rosh held is minastam. You could assume that if you're being mizak, it's something which is worth more, then it's a schus and it's okay. Now, in addition to the Marshal, another dissenting view is the Taz, also in Siman Shin and Test. The Taz also says, Tamali al Rosh, he doesn't like the din of the Rosh at all, and he mentions the famous principle of Chazal, Adam wrote to Bekav Shalom more than Test Kavan Makam Acher. And here it's not even the same stuff, it's a Dashim instead of Sarim. Certainly a person might want his own. So the Taz, you know, is Myrach, he brings rise against the Rosh. And he says, he also comes out like Marshal, he says, Yofet Pasuk Marshal, not to rely on this Rosh, he says, but the Taz does have one, a different kula. The Taz says, if it's a Tzarech Gadol, he doesn't define what Tzarech Gadol means, but if it's a Tzarech Gadol, he says, then you can be makel to take it without permission. Why? Because it's a different Tzvar, he says, because Mestama Nechel Abayla, Madlav and Mitzvah Mimone, we have a klal, and elsewhere in Shas and Halacha, you let to borrow somebody's tefillin or talis, because we say a person would want you to do a mitzvah. So here also, if you have a problem and you're going to lose money, you're going to have a hefsid. Mistama, he wouldn't want you to have absence. So Mistama, he would let you take his thing and pay for it rather than you suffering a loss. And then he says, even without the condition of the Rosh, even if it's not going to be worth more, even if it's not Paris Yafim, he's not like a Dashman Tzarim or a Dashma worth more, even if it's just a fair value, but the Kavasayu, the fair market value, it's still Mutter, because he wouldn't want you to have hefsid. Jews are assumed to be to care for each other and to want each other to do well. The Kainir Alvinias Dati Alachol Maisus. On the one hand, he rejects the Rosh that any time I'm willing to pay more and I'm a zakah, it's mutter. On the other hand, if it's a tzarech gadol, then you can be makel. The Ktos is dosh of the Taz. The Taz is cash in the Rosh. He says no, the Rosh is right. Even though there is a principle of rotzad and mekav shelo, still, it's permitted to do it because Lamaisa, getting more, getting a dashma instead of sarim, is still a schus. It's an offsetting schus. Beis Ephraim says a similar thing. The Ketshua brings a Beis Ephraim, who says the same idea, that even though a person normally does prefer to keep his own stuff, that is something which is considered important, but nevertheless, when you're giving him more, when you're giving him a dashim instead of sarim, that counterbalances the fact he'd rather have his own, and that's why the Rosh held. That's why the Rosh held that it is mutter min astam to mizakin to give him something more. The Ktos does add, though, a chumra, that certainly if he's around and he says no, that's earlier heard him say too, if he says no, you can't do it. And even if he's not around, but if afterward you tell him what happened, he says, you did that, I don't want to dash him, I want to tell him, then even the Rosh would agree. The Ktos says, that's pashut, even the Rosh would agree that you can't, that then you have to give it back. Because even a matana, if I give you a matana, when you find out about it, you say, I don't want a matana. Then even though Matana is normally assumed to be a schus, but the Matana gets reversed, so too here. Even though normally it's assumed to be a schus to get a dashim instead of sarim, but if when you hear about it you protest, then the transaction is reversed and you have to give back what you took. The Beis Ephraim that we mentioned before, brought by the Pesach Tshuva, mentions another kula. He says that all this discussion of the Tav, the Marshal, and the Rush, all these chalukim are only like a dashman tzarim, where you're talking not getting back your thing, you're getting back something else, but something else is better. That's when you have a machlokas, whether something better is acceptable or not. He says if you have a commodity item, like silver, a silversmith wants to exchange some of the silver he was given and replace it with different silver, something where he's going to get the exact same thing. He said there's no svar he wants dafka tzarim for his behemoth, it's the same silver. There's no kav shaloh, it's all the same thing, he says. Then there's no question, he says, that's pashut, that you're allowed to do it, he says. Then you don't. I think it's mashma, you don't even have to give more. But I'll call upon him, that he says is a more basic thing, this is Negiat Kedushin, but there's a whole discussion about this Nelson's Kedushin, Ibn Ezra, but I'll call upon him, Basif Ryan has this kula, that if you're not giving back something different, if you're giving back the same exact thing, a commodity, and there's no reason to say he's makpid on this more than that, then it's pashut that you're allowed to do it. Another kula, said by a number of Acharon, this is the Machan Ephraim, and Hilchos Gzeila, and Siman Hay, and Rabbi Kvegir, and his Gilyon Shulchan Aruch, and Siman Shin and Tess. They bring a Ran, their Medayek, that something which is Omid Limkar, certainly in the real case of Omid Limkar, where it's commercial merchandise, then even if you're not Mazak, even if you don't put aside the cash, it's Mutter anyway. That the Rosh must not be talking about such a case, they say, but a case, or if he agrees to this Ran, but that something which is Omid Limkar, even if you don't put down the cash now, it's still mutter, because since the whole point of this merchandise is to be sold, and that's what you're doing, he would accept it even if you're not in the zak of the cash right away, and you plan on paying the cash later. Now, we can make a topical reference here. Rabbi Solchan Inspector, in the Bar Yitzchak, in his Tshuvas Bar Yitzchak, Arachayim, Siman Aleph, Anav Zayin, he's discussing a shaila which was much discussed by the 19th century Achronim, 19th and 20th century Achronim, in a case where there was not a proper mechira made. Can someone sell chametz on the assumption, even if he didn't have a proper authorization, because probably he would want me to, because otherwise he'd be over Yisurim, it'll be Asur Ba'anah, do we have the right to make such a mechira? So this is a topic which is very heavily discussed by the Achronim. Certainly we don't rely on this lechatchila. The question is usually b'di'evan. So Rabbi Solchan said, according to this Yisod of the Achronim, of the Machan Ephraim, Rikav Egeri says that you see this idea that something which is Omid Limkar, you're allowed to take, even if you're not paying him cash right away, because it's clearly in his own interest. He said, chametz before Pesach is clearly something which is supposed to be sold. Any Jew who understands the problem certainly would want it to be sold. So he wants Takami Mekel to have a mechira which is unauthorized on the grounds that you're allowed to take something from somebody else, even take it yourself and sell it, even if you're not putting cash down right away, because there's a clear assumption, a clear umdana, that he would want it to be sold. So this is one set of Marakamas dealing with the question of whether stealing something almanas l'shalim is mutter. There's another aspect to this sugya. This is based on a different perspective. There's a Gemara in Bava Kama, and it runs as follows. Based on a Mishnah in Bava Kama. The Mishnah is on Kufidalam and Aleph. The Gemara is on Kufidalam and Beis. The Gemara is talking about bees. If my bees have fled my field and have encamped upon a branch in your field, the problem is, if I try to take back the bees, I try to grab the bees and take them back, the bees might decide to just light off on their own and go somewhere else. The safest, most effective way of doing this, of transplanting the bees back to my property, is to cut off the entire branch and take it back and put the branch on my property. Then the bees will just stay in the branch, which is their home, and they'll stay where they are. So that's fine. The problem is, it's not my branch, it's your branch. So do I have the right to unilaterally steal the branch from you, because otherwise my bees might get lost? So the Mishnah says, "Lo yakritas tu kol manas l'tinas adam." You may not do this. Even if you plan on paying for the branch, you have no right to do this. Bishmol b'rosh b'rochon and bracha omer, you are allowed to, as long as you pay for it. The Gemara and Beis elaborates a little further. The Gemara says, "This was that Bishmol b'rosh b'rochon and bracha. He's the one who said you're allowed to. He said it's a tzai based in who that I can go into your field and take the branch to save my bees and pay for it, of course." Another tzai based in, he said that if I have yayin and you have dvash and your dvash is getting lost and you need my barrel, so you can force me to spill out my yayin to save your dvash. Dvash is worth more than yayin, because, of course, you have to pay me for the yayin, but you can force me to give up the yayin and take cash for it. That's also what tzai based in it says. And another tzai it brings, and all these things, the Braisa says, Almanas ken hinchli Yeshua l'Yisrael as'aretz. These were tzai made by Yeshua when they began to settle Eretz Yisrael, that people have to be, it's not nigrid in apparently, but people, there was a tzai, it's akana made, people have to agree to give up their property to save someone else's property. Now, even though the Gemara says Yeshua and settling Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't mean dafka Eretz Yisrael. The Ramah in Choshen Mishpat and Siman Reish Ayin Dal says lav dafka barer to odin b'chut flaretz. And the Sma over there in Reish Ayin Dal explains Yeshua made the tzai in Eretz Yisrael because that was where people were. But the same din applies to chut flaretz too. Now the question is, do we paskin like this? The Gemara brings machlokes tanoim, and there's a machlokes rishonim how we paskin. The Rif says we do not, and the Rosh says that we do, and they bring raya's. We're not going to get into the details, but it's machlokes rishonim how we paskin. Maron in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Tamach Dalel and Chosh Mishpat paskins like the Rosh that you do force the person to give up his money and be compensated for it. The Ramah brings the Yesh Chalkim, Sheet of the Rif, and similarly in Siman Reish and Dalel, the Ramah brings both days. The Ramah is not machriya. The Shulchan Aruch Harav in Sheil of Eschiras and Siv Vav brings both opinions and says that Yerei Shemayim should be machbid not to do this, but Makom Shein Hefsid. Now, it's not clear what that means. The whole machlokas is only if you're going to have a hefsid. The whole takana was to save yourself from a hefsid. What does it mean, makom shein hefsid? If it's a chosen, really ask this question. But lachari, you have to say it means when is the hefsid that you can afford, perhaps, or it's a moderate hefsid, but when it's a serious hefsid that you can't afford to lose, then he sounds like even a Yerei Shemayim could be mekil like the shita that the takana does apply. Now, the Shumas Hadeshin in Siman Shin Tazayin has a kasha. He says, we're talking about takana here, that I have the right to force you to give up some money to save my money. So how is that consistent with the Gemara Bava Kamma that David HaMelech was told that he was not allowed to steal the Sa'arim to even if he's going to repay Adashim? So Shumas Hadeshin says, Pasha. Because in that case, David wasn't going to lose anything. He wanted some Sa'arim to feed to his animals. But there was no hefsid involved. He wasn't going to lose the battle, or the animals weren't going to die of starvation. He would do something else with the animals, I guess. So that's why there's the whole discussion we had earlier with the Rosh and the Chalkim on the Rosh and all those details about whether you're allowed to do it. But the Truman Tzedeshin says, any time there's an actual hefsid, that's we have this new idea of this takana. And when there's a hefsid, there's a whole new hefsid to take. You wouldn't have to all the klalim before to avoid hefsid, you can take from him and pay him back later. Truman Tzedeshin's case is actually quite an interesting one. What happened was there was a Jew who had a business deal, and he had to go travel to take care of it right away, and if he wouldn't do it, the deal, he might lose a lot of money. So he came to someone, a neighbor, a friend, or someone who had a horse, and he said, I need the horse. Now, the guy himself wasn't home, but his family said, no, he can't take the horse, he needs the horse. Because the owner of the horse needs it, because he also has a business deal. He also is going to need it in another hour to save his deal. So the first guy said, well, my deal is worth much more. It's 10 times more than his deal. So I'll tell you what, I'll take the horse, and I'll pay him back whatever his deal is worth. It's worth it for me to save my deal, even if I'll pay him for his deal. So the question is that a legitimate argument? So the Truman Tzedeshin says, this is mamash the question of the takana of Yeshua. Are you allowed to take something from somebody else without permission on the grounds that you needed to save yourself from a hefsid? And he says that it's machlokas rishonim, and that's what he says. It would be totally on the machlokas, the Rosh, and the Rif. Now the Sma, in Chosh Mishpat and Siman Shinches, Sifkat Yudalid, the Sma points out that the Ramah, when the Ramah brings the Truman Tzedeshin there in Siman Shinches, he's just so saying that you're allowed to take it. And the problem is that the Ramah we saw before, the Ramah brings both opinions about the Machlokas, Rosh, and Rif. So why over here is he so assuming that he can take it? So the Sma tries to suggest that here, in the case of the horse, everyone would agree that you're allowed to take it, because when the guy is here, the owner is here, and he protests, then there's Machlokas Rishon, whether Takana applies. When the guy is not here, you're just taking it without asking him, then he wants to say that everyone agrees that you could take it. But the Pesach Oshin points out that this is problematic with the Truman Tzedeshin. If you look at the Truman Tzedeshin inside, in Siman Shin Tazayin, he says explicitly that his case is totally on the Machlokes Rishonim and does not say the Chilak of the Sna. So this is the second approach to the question of taking something Shalokadin based on the fact that you need it and there's a Takana which may or may not apply. An interesting contemporary application of all these principles is found in Rav Tzvi Spitz's Mishpatei HaTorah, Chilak Aleph Siman Yudalad. His case was, somebody was storing some of his possessions in an apartment building in a storage room which was locked, and he did not have the key. And whatever the case was, he needed those objects right now. And if he didn't get them right now, he stood to have a hefsid. So what he wanted to do was break the lock, take out his possessions, and then give back a different lock to the owners of the building. Is he allowed to do that? So Rav Spitz discusses both these sugyas. First, he discusses the idea that if he's mezakeh a lock of equal or greater value to something in exchange for the lock he's breaking, you have the whole first discussion, the Rush. And then he says that if he stands to have a hefsid, you have this other hefsid, which is if it's a takana that allows you to take somebody else's property to save yourself from a hefsid. And we also saw that the Svar of the Taz, that similar to this last Svar, that there's an assumption that somebody wouldn't mind if you take his thing, because people want to do mitzvahs and they want to save you from Hafsed. You can look there in Mishpatei Torah for the details of his argument. But as we saw, none of these arguments are really so obvious. The first one about Gzeil Masl Shalom is Machlokes Rishonim, Rush against the Taz and the Marshal. The second one is Machlokes Rishonim, Machlokes Tanoim without a clear Hachara. So it's not really that simple. So just to summarize, what we've seen regarding this question of stealing something with intention to pay it back, there are four possible Hatera. The first one is the opinion of the Rush, that if you take something of equal or greater value and you set it on your mezaket, it's okay. But we saw that the Taz and the Marshal are cholik. The second svara is the svara of the Taz, that when there's a hefsid, there's a svara that a person would want to do a mitzvah and would want you to take it. The third svara is the svara of the Achronim, the Machane Ephraim, Rabbi Kveger, the Bar Yitzchak, that if something is mamish the same thing and it's all made to sell, and that there's no reason to assume, the Beis Ephraim, there's no reason to assume he'd be machbid, there's no svar of road to Bekav Shalom, then automatically, if you put aside money, that's going to be okay. Or even if you don't put aside money in certain cases. And the fourth svar is the Takana of Yoshua, that in the case of Hefsid, there's a Takana which allows you to take something and pay it back, although we saw that there are those who dispute that Hefsid.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org. Or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.